I want to take a second to remind you to sign up for the Poso Daily Brief. It is completely free. It'll be one email that's sent to you every day. You can stop the endless scrolling, trying to find out what's going on in your world. We will have this delivered directly to you, totally for free. Go to humanevents.com/Poso. Sign up today. It's called the Poso Daily Brief. Read what I read for show prep. You will not regret it. Humanevents.com/Poso. Totally free. The Poso Daily Brief.
What happens when the fourth turning meets fifth generation warfare?
A commentator, international social media sensation, and former Navy intelligence veteran.
This is Human Events with your host, Jack Posobiec.
Deliver us from
Haitian
evil.
Haitian Prime Minister Ariel Henry, who agreed to resign last week, is under U.S. Secret Service protection. This comes as gang attacks in suburbs near the capital of Port-au-Prince left at least a dozen people dead yesterday.
When you see those Palestinian marches, even I'm amazed at how many people are in those marches. And guys like Schumer see that. And to him, it's votes. I think it's votes more than anything else, because he was always pro-Israel. He's very anti-Israel. Now, any Jewish person that votes for Democrats hates their religion. They hate everything about Israel. And they should be ashamed of themselves.
Donald Trump's attorneys now say he cannot secure the roughly $500 million bond for the civil fraud judgment. They asked a judge yesterday for an emergency stay, claiming a bond for the full amount is, quote, a practical impossibility after reaching out to 30 companies.
The nation's highest court extended a stay against SB 4 indefinitely. SB 4 allows any law enforcement officer in the state to arrest anyone suspected of entering the country illegally.
Meanwhile, a former top Trump White House advisor is set to start serving prison time for refusing to testify before Congress about his involvement in efforts to overturn the 2020 presidential election. Peter Navarro, a trade advisor to the former president, was sentenced in January to 4 months in prison for defying a congressional subpoena.
That's prison. That's where they take your freedom. But as hard as it will be on me, and as hard as it will be on anybody who is in there, it's harder on their families. And this is who those Democrats have hurt. This is who the Democrats have hurt. I will be the only person in that prison who's been convicted of a misdemeanor. Everybody else is in there for felonies.
First they came for the J6ers, but I said nothing because I was not a J6er. Then they came for the pro-lifers, but I said nothing because I was not a pro-lifer. And then they came for the right-wingers online. But I said nothing because I was not a right-winger online. And then they came for the patriots. They came for the Trump senior advisors and Peter Navarro. And finally, they came for me. And no one was able to say anything because there was no one left to speak. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard today's edition of Human Events Daily. We are live in West Palm Beach. Today is March 19th, Anno Domini. Anno Domini means the year of our Lord. But I struggle. I struggle to maintain that this is the year of our Lord because we see what's going on just 1 hour drive from where I sit right now. Peter Navarro has become America's latest political prisoner. And if you don't think this is spiritual warfare that's being waged right now, they're going after the religious leaders. They're going after the patriots. They're going after landlords. Good thing nothing like this has ever happened before in history. Oh, wait. This is how every revolution starts. The patriots get locked up, and the next thing that comes is they get rounded up in camps. You want to tell me that the gulags don't exist? Go ask the Jan Sixers if the gulags exist. go ask Ashley Babbitt's mother what's going on in this country. Peter Navarro, one of our own, one of the lieutenants of MAGA, has to report to jail for 120 days. He won't get to celebrate Easter, the resurrection of our Lord, Savior Jesus Christ with his family. Today, the freedom of one of this show's greatest allies and this country's greatest allies is going behind bars, and his name is Peter Navarro. Also, never forget that Peter Navarro was the one man in the Trump administration for over a decade prior who'd been solely focused on taking down the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP, slapping tariffs on them and their allies in big tech and their allies on Wall Street are cheering today. Are you paying attention yet? Look who's going into prison. Look who's being put behind the bars of federal injustice. No, the year of our Lord begins when the political prisoners are returned. Easter is coming.
Ladies and gentlemen, one of the best ways that you can support us here at Human Events and the work that we do is subscribing to us on our Rumble channel. Make sure you're subscribed. You hit the notifications so you'll never miss a clip. You'll never miss a new live episode, and we're putting them out every single day of the week.
When I grew up in the hood, I rolled with Bloods, and them boys had a saying. You can't be listening to all that slappy whack, trimatazole, it's a bam ship, nippy bam bam, like Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
All right, Jack Posobiec back live, West Palm Beach, Southern Florida. Folks, the world is quickly descending into chaos. The next medical crisis is just around the corner. Whether it's a pandemic or something closer to home, preparedness is no longer an option. It's a necessity. It's where the wellness company comes in, from something innocent and natural like a tick bite to COVID to the next bioweapon manufactured in some Wuhan lab. The wellness company's medical emergency kit is what you need to be prepared. It contains life-saving medications like ivermectin, emergency antibiotics, a Z-Pak, so much more, as well as a guidebook to aid in the safe use of these life-saving medications. The wellness company and their doctors, including, you know them, Peter McCullough, Dr. James Thorpe, Dr. Harvey Reich, Dr. Drew Pinsky, Dr. Robert Sieg, so many more, are medical professionals that you can trust. So rest assured knowing that you're ready for whatever the globalists are going to throw at us next. To order some, just go to twc.health/poso. That's twc.health/poso and enter promo code POSO for 10% off. The wellness company and their licensed doctors are medical professionals you can trust, and their medical emergency kits are the gold standard to keeping you safe. Again, that's twc.health/poso, promo code POSO for 10% off. Check out the site for details. Prescription may be required. Let me tell you something. We got the family down here in Southern Florida for the whole week. You better believe that I brought our wellness company travel kit with us. I love that thing. And break it out just a little bit, you know, a couple of those travel things that happen. It's so nice to have it. Folks, we are very, very welcome to have the great Natalie Winters here from the War Room joining us today. She's live West Palm Beach along with us. Natalie, your friend and mine, Dr. Peter Navarro, has gone behind bars today. Even prior to COVID, prior to Wuhan, prior to Dashik and everything that, of course, you and so many others were able to bring to light during the pandemic, Peter understood that the neocon military conflagration with the Chinese Communist Party would be a disaster for everybody involved, particularly a disaster for the people of Taiwan, by the way, because the entire island would be engulfed in a fireball within like the first, 12 minutes or so. But Peter understood that the way you defeat the Chinese Communist Party isn't by a head-on attack, it's actually to use China's own tactics against them. Economic warfare, unrestrained warfare, just like the Chinese senior generals were talking about in that book in 1999 when they put it together. It's been this elite merger between the elites of Wall Street, of big business. And I say this always happened. This happened June 4th, 1989, right after the Tiananmen Square massacre. Right, remember June 4th, nothing happened in Tiananmen Square. And Scowcroft, the national security advisor at the time, goes over and cuts a deal with them. And then immediately after that, they get brought into the WTO. They get most favored nation trade status. And suddenly the deal becomes China will become the manufacturers of the world. So the U.S. manufacturing base gets totally shifted over there.
Then the IP comes from the West, so the Western capital goes to build the infrastructure and the manufacturing centers, the factories, and then, oh, by the way, the workers of the U.S., the workers of the South, the workers of the Midwest, they, Appalachia, they all get screwed over in the middle. And it's because this dirty deal was done all the way back in the 1980s, this is what brings us forward to things like Dr. Fauci and the biopharma use of this same system. But the system is the problem. And Navarro understood that. And I'd be remiss if I said Lighthizer didn't understand that, because he understood that as well. Other than those two, I can't think of anyone, save obviously President Trump himself, who understands that it's an economic problem here.
Well, what you just articulated is the establishment's worldview when it comes to China. And I think there's no better way to really encapsulate it than a 2011 op-ed that Joe Biden wrote, which was China's rise isn't our demise, right? This concept that a rising tide lifts all boats, we need to have the Chinese Communist Party enter the World Trade Organization. But I think as American sentiment, when you saw the jobs being outsourced to China, kind of shifted and people realized that, you know, a communist regime that suppresses and subjugates its own people is not that great. We shouldn't be inviting them into this country with open arms. But when people began to realize that, I think you really started seeing some red meat talking points being thrown at the American people. In other words, congressional Republicans love to talk tough on China, right? The China Select Committee, they love to hold those hearings where they're talking tough and interviewing people about all the ways that we need to counter China, specifically through the lens of kinetic warfare. But Peter Navarro, all these people that you're talking about, Steve Bannon, yourself included, you basically call the bluff of the establishment who likes to just pay lip service to being tough on China. I can tell you, you see the records, whether it's voting records, the legislation that, that members of Congress introduce when it comes to China, they love to talk a hard game, right? They love to say that we need to decouple, at least some Republicans, those that aren't beholden to the Chinese Communist Party. But when push comes to shove, they don't actually do anything. So when you have people like Peter Navarro laying out the financial kind of groundwork as to how you actually disentangle and decouple from the Chinese Communist Party, it is a disaster. It is a nightmare for the people who love to perpetuate the narrative that we are too in bed with China to ever actually decouple.
And Natalie, bring it forward all the way up to literally, what, 2 days ago, 3 days ago on the campaign trail, President Trump uses this word bloodbath. And the media takes that word and creates an entire firestorm hoax, a hoax storm predicated on his use of that word. But what was he talking about that would create a bloodbath? The bloodbath that he was describing was specifically an economic bloodbath brought about because of the Chinese Communist Party's crooked dealings in Mexico to bring those cars and cars assembled down in Mexico by under American auspices. Ford is down there doing this, I think Chrysler as well. And they want to bring it across with all Chinese parts and say it's American made because you're able to do so under some of the way these laws have been written. That what Trump said was, if you allow this to happen, it will be an economic bloodbath, obviously. And then he used, you know, they say you're not supposed to say the N-word. That's nuclear, by the way. But you're really, they really get mad when we use the T-word. And the T-word, we're not talking about, and I'm saying we need high T back in our government. No more low T. And when I say high T, the T I'm talking about here isn't just testosterone, folks. It's tariffs. 100% tariffs on Chinese goods and Chinese cars coming across that line, coming across that border. Trump comes out and says that, and I would submit to you that that is the reason that he exposes this crooked relationship, the same one that Navarro's been talking about for years, and that is why they create this firestorm of bloodbath, 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 because they don't want the American people hearing it.
And take it even one step further to go full circle. We always say, you know, we were going to set out to change China, change the Chinese Communist Party, but we know they were going to change us. And when you see one of the key strategies underpinning PLA warfare, which is, of course, lawfare with the three warfares doctrine, and you see what's going on with Peter Navarro, you see what's going on with Steve Bannon, you see what's going on with the entire MAGA movement, how can you sit there and say that it wasn't the Chinese Communist Party that actually changed us? Our elites got entrapped, got really beholden intellectually and ideologically to really an authoritarian way of ruling and subjugating the American people, because you know what? All their business partners are doing it. I always say it's the circumstantial evidence that the Biden family was in business with the Chinese Communist Party, given the way that they treat American people. They treat us how the Chinese regime treats Lao Beijing.
And you look at the show trial, right? The show trial that was January, this wasn't a real trial, January 6th, where they're deleting the evidence and Liz Cheney can't
but
even find the text messages and the phone. This was this ridiculous, when you can't even cross-examine the witnesses, the Republicans didn't even have somebody. This is ridiculous. But you know what's not ridiculous? You know what's not crazy? Is that there are parts of the world, like China, where this is normal, where people are put on show trial. And by the way, it wasn't just Peter Navarro, but Steve Bannon as well. What the general of the war room was put through this show trial, and his sentence was stayed. But of course, it could kick in at any moment, and we have to be cognizant of that. But this is exactly what the Chinese Communist Party does, what Xi Jinping does when he wants to get rid of his opponents. Last minute to the break, Natalie Winters.
And it goes all the way down to fraudulent elections and a lack of election integrity. I'd remind people, the Carter Center, which oversees a lot of elections going on here in the United States, at least state by state, they also observe elections that are going on in China and are deeply tied to the Chinese Communist Party. Yeah, allegedly.
Scare
and again,
quotes,
that's
elections.
Just an anecdote, but it shows you, right? The cardinal sin, the original sin of the Biden regime, it started with a fraudulent election that the Chinese Communist Party could only be envious of. And that's why you've seen them continue to go down this road, because they know they can get away with it.
We're going to be right back underpinning all of this, everybody. Cui bono, cui malo. Peter Navarro and the Patriots being sent to prison. Who benefits? Who suffers? Jack Posobiec, we've got Natalie Winters in studio. Human Events Daily continues.
But I rolled with bloods, and them boys had a saying. You can't be listening to all that slappy whack, trimatazole, it's a bam ship, nippy bam bam, like Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
All right, Jack Posobiec back live, West Palm Beach, Southern Florida. Got a question for you. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody and the next thing you know, you're getting ads for products that match exactly whatever it is you were just talking about? Between the government, big tech, corporate America, and criminals, your privacy is compromised 24/7. This is on top of the side effects from radiation that the cell phone corporations totally swear is safe, and the brain-numbing effects of social media. Detox from your phone today with Silent. Silent is a light and portable Faraday sleeve for your mobile device that protects your privacy, security, and your health. It's a patented silent pocket Faraday technology, which blocks harmful radiation and all wireless signals, that gives you the peace of mind that knowing your personal data never ends up in the wrong hands. So go silent today, slnt.com/poso. Use promo code POSO, save 15% on free shipping, qualifying orders. Look, folks, I'm in the spotlight challenging the government, the Klaus Schwabs, the DOJ, the big corporate interests, the CCP, on top of the left, Antifa, all of it. Got to protect my privacy at all times. That's why I'm so thankful that Silent was created. You can go to slnt.com/poso. Again, that's slnt.com/poso. Use promo code POSO, save 15%, free shipping, qualifying orders. They got bags. They've got all sorts of stuff, backpacks. Producer Russ loves carrying his Silent backpack everywhere. And just, you know, for Sundays in Lent, I've been doing no screen Sundays. I got to love it. Drop the bag right in there. Don't even have to worry about it. Natalie Winters, there's something else we have to talk about as well. And it's not just Peter Navarro that's getting locked up, because yesterday we were told in a 4 or 5 count indictment that the Biden DOJ has, they're not just locking up. So they started with sort of the rank and file. That's January 6th. January 6th is used as a two-pronged maneuver. Number one, to go after just patriots in general. And then number two, to try to get Trump off the ballot or to try to decertify the election when he wins on the next January 6th, right? I was doing an interview with the New York Times, or was it? No, it was NBC. And they
confusing.
Said, no. I know. No, hold on. No, try to be fair. I got to be accurate around here. We're not them. We're not them. We're not Politico. And I said, you know, he was like, well, you said it sounds like you want another January 6th to happen. I looked at him and said, of course I want another January 6th to happen. And then, I said, because January 6th is when we certify the election and we certify that President Trump actually won and is the legitimate president of the United States. Oh, these people don't even understand how our system works. Like, that's what January 6th is supposed to be. Anyway, I digress. But now, as opposed to all of that and the pro-lifers, now they're going after, because Trump just won the primary, so now what have they done? They're worried about the general. What are they doing? They're going after influencers. So the as far as I can tell, the first, maybe Brandon Straka could be the first overall influencer, mega influencer, but this may be the first female influencer to be arrested. Isabella DeLuca, 5 misdemeanor charges for being inside the Capitol on January 6th. This thing with the table, she didn't attack anyone, she knew anything violent, and believing that the election was stolen. And now she's being treated like a violent criminal. As we know, BLM rioters, murderers, shooters are allowed to just walk right out. You can shoot up a subway in New York, and you know that's no problem. But Daniel Penny, who tried to save people's lives, is put behind bars. They're going after influencers. I mean, why wait all these years, by the way? Why wait all these years until the timing, and this is what's so key to me, right as we move into the general election, they start arresting influencers associated with January 6th. Am I off on this, or does that make sense?
No, not at all. And frankly, it all goes down to the timing. I think just like what they've done with Peter Navarro, pushing it very close to the election, I think they're going to push it. So Steve Bannon likely goes to prison right in the lead up to January 6th, right? They don't want the powerful voices to be around here.
To the election.
Come the lead up to the election. Come the lead up to even the certification, right? They don't want free speech. It's pretty obvious. But with Isabella yes. DeLuca case, I mean, I saw that. Like you said, that happened years ago. And the fact that they're pursuing it now, it's clear they want to make an example out of a young, beautiful girl who represents, femininity and being a woman. I'm sure just like Xi Jinping loves getting Peter Navarro, all the probably deranged, rabid feminists over at Biden's DOJ. Love that. But look, I mean, I've always viewed January 6th and what happened there as sort of akin to what happened in China with the 100 Flowers movement, in the sense that they used it, the federal entrapment side of things too, but to really expose and to try to get people to share their viewpoints, right? To criticize
what was
the establishment.
So for people who don't know, or people who haven't listened to The China Files, which, maybe I'll just say that there's there's some interest in adapting The China Files into another project, which may or may not be announced short time here, that what was the 100 Flowers campaign under Chairman Mao?
Well, in the context of this show, I think the relevant part is that they basically invited criticism, they invited dissidents to speak out against the regime.
Right, so Mao says, go ahead, just let fly, and specifically the phrase he uses famously, let 100 flowers bloom. I'm instituting freedom of speech. You can all speak freely. Go ahead, have at it.
And then they basically used it to reverse engineer who the largest enemies of the regime were.
And they just made a list.
When you see what they've done post January 6th, not even just the people who are actually in the building, that's of course the physical entrapment side of it, but just even on the January 6th committee side of things, the way they've called in, whether it was Steve or Peter, and who defied these congressional subpoenas, allegedly, they used it to really, I think, create, the board with the yarn and the names, tying it all, right? These crazy kind of interwoven webs of people who they view as subverting democracy. We, of course, know it's just projection because that's what they've been doing really for years now. Look no further than the Russia hoax. But I think that is what all of this has been about. So when you see them now going after influencers, particularly those with pretty large scale audiences and large followings, Steve included, the War Room posse, I think you can even look at the way we've been deplatformed and banned. But now that they've hit the influencer echelon, the influencer tier, I think it sort of confirms that critique that this is what they're doing, right? They're trying to silence us. And frankly, their old kind of school tactics, whether it's the Praetorian Guard style censoring when it comes to, weaponizing CISA, weaponizing these weird NGOs, these dark money left-wing groups that they've sort of outsourced the defiance of the First Amendment.
Which the New York Times just ran a puff piece on page one this last Sunday. All of a sudden, there's this massive, why are you criticizing the Transition Integrity Project? Mm-hmm. How dare you criticize it? They're restarting all this stuff for 2024, aren't they?
Of course. But they it's not even restarting. They never stopped.
True,
right?
Very true. Point.
They just sort of went, I wouldn't say underground, but I think the best example of this is the Center for Tech and Civic Life, started by Tiana Epps Johnson. Of course, she was tied to Obama. There's weird Soros money that's flowed there, of course, Zuckerberg money. And they say that they are no longer involved in, the privateering of elections. Remember, they gave, $500 million kind of funneled through the Chan Zuckerberg initiative to basically secure a victory for Joe Biden. But they say, oh, well, we're actually not going to be involved in the 2024 election. We've kind of gone defunct, and the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative has said, oh, well, we're not really going to be involved in elections. But they've actually just been rebranding. I believe it's the Alliance for Election Integrity is what the Center for Tech and Civic Life became. But they've even became, honestly, they've become more calculated and targeted, realizing that they have to go after the state and local level officials. That's sort of the better way. And they are now directly funding state offices, local offices, kind of influencing them on how to actually set up their election day booths. And frankly, I'd go even go the step further. When you really zoom out and you look at, I think, the way the World Economic Forum has been weaponizing cybersecurity, you see the weaponization of public health and pandemics to, I would argue, influence the outcome of elections. Sure, Mark Zuckerberg may not be allegedly giving, you know, $500 million to try to boost the mail-in vote turnout, and specifically, I believe, 98.4%, you know, Biden-heavy districts. But they're influencing the rest of the, you know, political kind of climate when you see what they're doing re-cybersecurity with the World Economic Forum and just the broader globalist agenda. So I think they're kind of playing semantics with their involvement politically. But make no mistake, these people did not restart. They've always been there. And frankly,
and the name, by the way, yeah. I think paragraph one or two, right on the top of that, the name Nina Yankovic, yeah. Nina Bobina gets named, and it says formerly headed the Disinformation Governance Board at the Department of Homeland Security. It's almost like, gee, I wonder, Nina, why is it that you lost your job? Did somebody expose you and blow up your entire operation? I don't know who would have done such a thing. But to your point, this is the same person. It's the same people again and again. It's the same playbook. The names don't change. The players don't change. Only thing that changes is the uniform. But it's always the same people. It's always the same playbook.
It's pure projection. And I always want to make this point whenever the Transition Integrity Project is brought up. We know a lot of their documents, the content they put out is so alarming in terms of how they want to steal the election. But it's all projection. They even had, I remember reading back when I worked with Raheem Kassam, they had a segment in their kind of dossier where they literally said, be careful for false flag attacks and agents posing as members of the other side to try to make our side look worse. I remember we literally pulled that quote and said, look, here's a perfect example of what the feds did on January 6th. But it's only okay when the Transition Integrity Project says, right? It's only okay when Democrats in 2018 said our elections were insecure and that foreign influence was a potentially, you know, damning impact or damning effect on the election results come 2020 or even in 2016. So it's only okay when they do it, but you really can realize and reverse engineer their talking points to the point where it is purely, purely projection. It's almost marvelous, honestly, the psychology, what drives these people. But you can literally reverse engineer years down the road what their talking points will be, whether it's election integrity, pandemics, public health, you name it, based off of what they were saying a few years before and going after people like myself.
And this is why it's so important that we keep an eye on them, that we have people like Natalie Winters out there that are like a dog on the hunt on these people, following what they're putting up, because they always tell you what they're going to do. And then there's people we mentioned yesterday, Norm Eisen, Nina Yankovic, Andrew Weissman. It's the same names over and over. Last minute, Natalie, what are you working on? Where can people go to follow you?
The latest scam when it comes to Ukraine and green energy, they're now courting foreign investment from foreign elites who want to stop climate change.
Imagine
by helping,
my shock.
Right? So it's nice to know that my taxpayer dollars will be helping the Ukrainian power grid. But that's what I'm really focusing on right now. You can always follow me at Natalie G. Winters on all platforms. And, of course, tune into warrooms.org. Sign up for the newsletter. And, yeah, that's where I am.
The great Natalie Winters. Always great to be with her right here in studio. That's something we get to do when we are in town in West Palm Beach. We've got a very special guest, special treat in studio for you guys coming up just next.
You know, they talk about influencers. These are influencers. And they're friends of mine. Jack Posobiec. Where's Jack? Jack. He's done a great job.
All right, we're very honored now to have here live in studio the father of Brexit. You know him from UKIP. You know him from his fantastic show over on GB News, where just yesterday, and we're told in just a few minutes' time, we will be seeing his interview with the the former and next president of the United States, Donald J. Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, Nigel Farage joins us here in studio. Nigel, thank you so much for stopping
by. Pleasure to be here. It really is.
Tell me about the interview. Now it airs in a couple of minutes' time. We've seen a few excerpts. I saw some bits that came out regarding Ukraine, some bits that came out regarding, he said that you're going to get into the bloodbath comments, this economic, this auto thing. What was it like sitting down with him? Is the president in good spirits? What was your sense of him?
Yeah, I mean, I've obviously got to know him quite well over the course of the last 8 or 9 years. When you think what he's facing, I mean, the enormitude of the fine, the ridiculous fine that's being levied on him.
Yes.
The impending court cases, he's back in court again next Monday. Despite all of it, his resilience, it's totally extraordinary. I don't know another human being who could put up with that level of abuse. And then on top of that, you know, he makes a speech in Ohio about the car industry and what China's going to do to it. And the use of the word bloodbath was clearly meant about economics, gets totally misused by American and indeed global mainstream media. And despite all that stuff he has to put up with, he's, I would say, very focused, very determined. It was a pleasure to talk to him. And we talked about, obviously, American politics. We talked about the border, which, when you think about it, you know, was the centerpiece of the 2016 campaign. Well, boy, it's an even bigger issue this time round, a vital issue, actually, for America this time round. We talked about Prince Harry, because, you know, he wrote the book where he openly talked about cocaine use, psychedelics, etc. What did he write on that visa for? And, you know, Trump made it pretty clear that if he's president, when he's president again, there'll be a re-examination of whether Prince Harry can stay in your country. Because,
Well,
why should he have different privileges to anybody else?
Basically as simple as that.
It is as simple as that. But the really big one was NATO. Now, Trump made this speech a couple of months ago, and he's criticized NATO members ever since he was first president.
Yes.
And he's dead right. Why should America carry all the costs for it and the Europeans effectively freeload off the back? He's dead right about that. But he made this, you know, and you know what he's like, these off-the-cuff comments. You know, if they don't pay the 2% of their GDP, well, Russia can just, you know, do what the hell they like. And that's been taken by the globalists over the course of the last month. And they're saying, right, if Trump wins, America's gone, we've now got to build a European, an EU defense force. It's almost the globalist dream, isn't it?
It always has been.
Yep, always has been. They've even talked about having nuclear weapons. So I put it to him, and I said, look, you know, if Poland is invaded, it's always Poland, isn't it? If Poland is invaded...
Always Poland. as I know.
Well,
I
just
as I know, yeah.
It's just what I throw that in.
right.
But if Poland's invaded, and the member states of NATO have all paid their fees, is America there? Is America still leading the alliance? He said, yes, 100%. And that actually is very important. That is very, very important. And I think, you know, I understand from an American perspective, the argument very often, well, you know, there's a great big pond between us and Europe. Why should things that happen there worry us too much? But history says, whenever America is not in leadership of the Western world, very bad things happen.
Well, it's interesting to me as well, because on both of these issues, both the speech in Ohio, to a crowd full of auto workers, by the way,
yeah.
I might add,
yeah.
he makes this bloodbath comment. He's talking about an economic bloodbath for the American people and for those specific auto workers. Now, of course, auto workers is a key constituency that is up for grabs between himself and Biden, not just in Ohio, but across places like Wisconsin, and then possibly most key in terms of 2024, the state of Michigan.
Yeah.
Now, on the same time, so they're twisted it, but they've also missed the actual underlying issue. But it comes down to the economics of the situation. The same way that on NATO, well, the crux of what Trump is driving after is more money for NATO. Now, he may have said it in a bit of a New York way,
shall we say.
Well, if you guys don't pay up, you know, some accidents might happen,
it's
a rough neighborhood around here, you know.
But it's in the book, isn't it? It's the art of the deal.
It is 100%.
This is how this guy operates.
Yes.
And his comments are always willfully misinterpreted. So setting the record straight on that is going to be a very big story across the whole of Europe.
Well, and I think, though, that when it comes to the American people, that when you set aside the two, but also writ large, in terms of the global scale. Is there really anybody in Europe who thinks that things are better today than when Trump was in office? And I'd even ask you the question, because I've traveled across Europe to various CPAC events and different things. And I mean, it's chaos and everyone's in the doldrums and are we going to beat Russia and Zelensky and all of this? And I remember, did any of you ever sit back and say, you know, we didn't have to worry about this stuff when Trump was in, did we?
You know, the British press were completely against Trump.
Yes.
You know, ever since 2015. And of course, it starts off Trump's a joke, but then suddenly he's a threat, he's an ogre. And it was interesting because, you know, I put my head over the parapet supporting Trump immediately after the Brexit referendum. I thought, you know, we want this thing to roll. And I think we helped a little bit, and I'm very proud of that. But the unrelenting criticism of Trump all through his first term, something very different is going on now. There is a general acceptance that actually the world was a bit safer when Trump was around. And, you know, Boris Johnson has come out quite publicly and said, isn't it funny, the world was safer under Trump, whether you like him or not. Some of the British newspapers have also now changed their tune on Trump. They've seen what a catastrophe Biden is. And, you know, the fact is, 100 years ago, we were the dominant global superpower. Yes. We're not anymore. You are. And we, all of us, need your leadership very, probably now more than at any point since World War II. These huge threats we faced, not just economic threats from China, but potentially military ones as well. The situation in the Middle East, where frankly, the Obama administration, the Biden administration, have effectively funded what's going on with Hamas.
Yes.
By freeing up tens of billions for the Iranians. So I think it was a big rethink about Trump going on.
Well, there was a huge crux of 2016, the pallets of cash to Iran, the pallets of cash to Iran. He brought it up over and over. He loves visual metaphors, by the way. He's a very visual thinker, and he paints these pictures, and sometimes people don't like it because they're on the receiving end of it. But I've always noticed that. He's not an abstract guy. It's very concrete. It's very visual. It's visceral. And I think it's that type of language that connects him with the average person, with the working class person, because that's how they speak as well.
Yes, that's right. And it's the sort of language that the snobs that run the big capital cities in the Western world look down upon. I mean, don't forget, you know, people in the ruling classes in politics and media are contemptuous of working class people.
Yes.
They genuinely, I know, because I've lived in that world. I was there. I mean, I was a politician for 20 years.
We won't hold it against you.
Well, I'm recovering now. But it's because he speaks that language that folks speak to each other in the bar on a Friday night or whatever it is. The other thing, Jack, that really interests me is the demographic shift that's going on here. Mm. That the number of black people in America now saying they support Trump is about 2.5 times what it was in 2020, to 8% to low 20%. We've got a similar thing happening with the Hispanic community. There's a very big change happening here. Very, very big change.
The shift is on because we've seen the A-B test. You saw how it was under Trump. You can see how it is under Biden. And it doesn't usually happen this way, but because of fortuitous or I like to say because of favored circumstances, we have a chance to get things right. Nigel, I understand you have to run. You've got your show coming up. Where can people go to see it and to see your interview?
GBnews.com.
GBnews.com.
GBnews.com, Nigel, and it's there. And there's
President Trump.
We've got an app as well, and all of our content is free 24/7.
24/7. Folks, not so often that someone gets to go into Mar-a-Lago, sit down with President Trump, ask it, was there anything off the record? Was there any question they say, oh, we don't want to get into
this? No, absolutely
not.
No. This was absolutely no holds barred. You know, you come in, you can ask whatever the hell you like. There was no pre-agreement of any kind whatsoever, I promise you.
Have you ever had a situation like that with any other politician?
No, and you know, I'll tell you what, afterwards, he was doing photographs with the crew. And,
so perfect.
You know, and he's so good with people.
So perfect.
I wish more people could see what he's really like.
Well, hopefully they can see it. Nigel Farage, everybody, make sure you go check that out. GB News, it'll come up just after the show today. Nigel, thanks so much.
Pleasure.
Long hours. I'm always listening to Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
All right, Jack Posobiec back live. Final segment here, West Palm Beach. We've got Natalie Winters back with us. Natalie, that was great having Nigel stop by the way he did, giving us a preview of his interview with President Trump. And I really thought it was interesting the way that he talked about how in looking at the Trump term through the lens of the Biden administration, of what's going on now, the locking up of political opponents, the locking up of influencers, the fact that the economy is in the tank, the fact that that we've seen just everything explode on the world stage. Just the world is blown up, basically. Israel, Hamas, Russia, Ukraine, every conflict that could blow up has blown up. China, Taiwan, every day people send me messages every day saying, you know, there's a new wave that's going across Taiwan. There's a new, you know, China's constantly testing the waters there, testing the air defense identification zone, and it is stepping up, and there's no question about that. So what I would say is, isn't it interesting that people are now, with Trump not even really doing anything other than being an alternative to the insanity that people can see on a regular basis today, that even people like Boris Johnson that Nigel just talked about are now coming out and saying, you know, maybe we were wrong about that guy. Maybe he wasn't all bad the way that we thought he was.
What's so funny is I think they used to pitch Joe Biden, right, as the like counter to the
right.
Craziest.
Remember the return to normalcy, the bring civility back.
It was bring civility back. It was trust the experts. It was we need these foreign policy experts on the world stage, right? President Trump is making us look like a joke in the eyes of, you know, the EU bureaucrats that we should just worship at the feet of, and all the, you know, experts and genius people involved in NATO and all these globalist organizations. But frankly, I think it's not happenstance, right? It's not an accident that the contrast of Trump v. Biden, people are overwhelmingly in support of the Trump agenda. It's an intentional destruction, right? It is an intentional, just like we were talking about when it comes to the Chinese Communist Party economic warfare. It's an intentional hollowing out of
thank
the American
thank
middle
you so
class.
Much for saying that, by the way, because there are so many people that it's intentional. Because there are so many people that I have to deal with on a regular basis that are still stuck in this, you know, just mode of saying, oh, we conservatives aren't getting equal treatment and the media is taking us out of context and we're so upset. Do you know they lied about bloodbath? They're not using the same standards on, I'm like, really? My goodness. No, it is intentional. It's always been intentional. That's who they are. And I always find it interesting hearing Nigel's perspective and even Raheem's perspective when he's on, to an extent, that because when you're coming at it from the lens of someone who's outside the country, you can see it a little bit more clearly. Even when I talk to my wife, to Tanya Tay, because she can see things a little bit more clearly when, you know, we Americans are so embroiled in it. That, you know, things were simply better. Crime didn't seem to be as bad as it was. The border was obviously under control. Foreign policy under control. The economy was getting better until COVID was unleashed, accidentally, of course. And you know, it's making people, and this is why you're seeing the demographic shift. You're seeing the demographic shift towards Trump.
Well, I think what's so interesting too, I'm sure you saw those poll numbers, what was it, a few months ago, where it was saying, like, people overwhelmingly support a dictator Trump. Right? And remember the news, they lost.
Oh, I remember. Right? And I made a comment about that at CPAC that got a little bit of attention.
Right? They melted down over that.
Maybe.
And what I think is so funny is if you actually look at it, I think that just shows how people have been really longing and just desiring for a president who's actually just strong and capable enough to have an agenda and implement it, but to frankly go up against the administrative state. You want a strong, really centralized power to be able to go up against what is the Death Star administrative state woke bureaucracy. And I think that's why there's such this longing for an actual tough president, right? It's a strong man. And I always say they went for Joe Biden after President Trump because they couldn't control President Trump, so they wanted someone who was like a ventriloquist doll that they could have up there, that they know
human
they have
meat
so much
popsicle.
And that they have so much blackmail on,
yes.
Right, so they can control him.
They're controlling him, they're controlling his family.
But
yes.
That's why they hate President Trump. That's why they hate Peter Navarro, to bring it back to the start of the show. These are people who have not sold out. They haven't taken the bribes that they offered Carrie Lake.
And the one
right?
man the one man who was not found on the Epstein list, and the one man who, when he found out what Epstein was about, went to the authorities and said, what can I do to put this guy behind bars?
And I'd also add this, you know, my background is in Chinese Communist Party infiltration. I know every company, every nonprofit that has worked with these weird proxy front groups that are trying to destroy the United States from within. You know what business has never, ever been linked to any of these groups, whether it's CUSAF, the Chinese People's Association for Friendship, Foreign Contact, the whole list of all the names. The Trump Organization.
Trump Organization.
And that is one of the, if only,
so the Trump Organization isn't linked to the Chinese Communist Party. Peter Navarro, the top, I would say, just the mad dog going after the Chinese Communist Party and Dr. Fauci, because of his view, because of Peter Navarro's view on China and the CCP, which is what enabled him to view Fauci so clearly before anybody else could, because he got it.
Intentionality, even
before myself, right? and I'll be clear about that. Even before I understood that Navarro was there, right? Navarro was there, and he was opening everyone before anybody. Okay, before anybody. And Natalie, by the way, while I have you, I want to implore you. I was going to even say this offline.
Oh, no.
You know what you've got to go back to? Naming the journalists who were taking those trips that were funded by the
CCP. Can I give a shout out to Bruce? His last name, I have to double check, but I bring him up only because he's the husband of Joe Biden's former Deputy Secretary of State, Wendy Sherman. So when you talk about how all of these people are interconnected and just they're all a part of the same group of people who are intent on destroying this country, whether it's Nina Jankowicz continuing to pop up, right? It's the same people. It's the same cast of characters.
Bruce Stokes. Bruce Stokes.
Yeah, man. I think that's maybe, yeah, that sounds right. There's a lot of them. But you can go, the article's still up at the National Pulse. But remember, all the names were scrubbed from the internet.
We have
they
to bring this list back. Natalie was putting together
I found them,
all of the Farrah filings, the money, all of the journalists. We're going to start listing the journalists again.
This? If the China Select Committee wants to be taken seriously and show that they actually want to take down the CCP,
let's go.
Subpoena. The consulting firms that were working for CUSAF that were paying for these Western journalists to go on the trip. Otherwise, save it and take your 20
boom.
Talking points.
Boom, 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 boom. Take your 20 talking points and your 20 dashed line for all I care and sink them to the bottom of the South China Sea. Ladies and gentlemen, Natalie Winther's absolutely on fire. As always, you have my permission, our permission to lay ashore.